Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, Coburg's new Poet Laureate, Jessica Outram. Now, during the term of Poet Laureate, the Poet Laureate develops projects that go throughout their term. So have you thought of one that's going to be developed through your four-year term?
Yes. So the project that's actually launching the first Saturday in August is called Poetry Present. I really wanted to just get out of the gates and do something right away. And I love technology. So this is a weekly email publication, and it's a poem composed by a writer from Coburg or nearby, or somebody that's visited. So anybody within the region as well. And that's it. So you can subscribe to receive a weekly email, and in the email there will be a poem and then a bio about the writer. And then you can also submit your poetry to be selected to be included. So if you go to www.sunshineinajar.com and you click on Poetry Present, right there on the right-hand side of the first page, you will find out all about it. So we're hoping that we attract lots of poetry lovers and readers, and as well as some writers to submit their poetry. And I think it's going to be a wonderful way to get to know poets and the writers within the region.
So what other projects have you got bubbling away?
Well, I've been working on a novel for quite some time now. It's one of those slow-moving projects, just because you need big stretches of time to really sink deeply into it. But I'm really enjoying the process of it. It's called Moccasin Flowers, and it's a book about two women who complete a DNA test online and discover that they're related. I think there's a bit of that going on right now.
Absolutely.
And one of the women, Allie, lives in Toronto, and the other one, Layla, lives up on Georgian Bay, and one has been raised with the Métis culture and the other one has not and is not aware of her heritage. And then the two end up meeting after the death of the grandmother, because it's actually the grandmother's DNA test with Allie's DNA test that connects them. And then it kind of throws their lives out of balance from there, and then they have to decide, you know, which of each other's pieces they want to pick up. So that's been one thing that I've been working on. And then the other thing I've been working on is my parents live up on Georgian Bay, and I was just there this week. They've just installed 87 windmills at a wind farm right along Bay. And this is in northeastern Georgian Bay, just north of Parry Sound. And it's quite striking to see that many windmills spread in a line among the landscape that I've grown up with. So I'd really like to explore our relationship with the environment.
Sounds interesting. Technology meets nature.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, talking of poetry, perhaps you would read some poems for us.
Sure, I would love to. So I've got two poems for you today. The first one is called Being Poetica, and this was the poem that I had composed specially for being appointed Poet Laureate. I felt that it was important to that special council meeting with a new poem and with one that paid tribute to creating in community. I've been lucky for the last 20 years to have been involved in really wonderful writing and arts communities, and I wanted to pay tribute to them on that day. So this is Being Poetica. Once upon a doodle, Poetica emerged, a wishful, bright, arts-infused being flying in a dream cloud. I ached for Poetica to soar in its where, what, and how, longing not just to mean but to be. Sitting on stone in gray silence for days, writing the spaces between moments until you joined for gatherings of our energy. Stories of grandmothers, canvases of souls, opuses of youth, shared for all to stir and dare and wonder. Then we felt its grace, Poetica, swirling and twirling on the page and in public, dancing across stage, sometimes all in white tights or top hats, always beaming electric relations, shining, spirited offerings in flight. We watched lavender notes lingering on backs of hummingbirds, bouncing, beating, bubbling, breathing out story and bathing in song. Words vibrating, vitality and color, delicate. As time passed, Poetica seeped into everything. Sometimes we cried and we held each other, hovering in the frame of the lens and snap, capturing despair, exposing portraits of pain to heal, we learned. Be the truth, be the love, be the voice, be the refuge, be the beauty. Yet whispering gallery walls rarely frightened us here. Watchful eyes we could not, would not escape, sparkled enough hope, echoing and urging all of us to create and relate. Did you listen too? We artists, even you, yes you, even me. Encircled by watercolor flashes, time glistened with burnt umber or worried of cadmium red seeping into white as our brushes truly wands surrendered while searching again for a sapphire sword as we floated. Later, by the lake we found its place, we realize poetica. Leaking metaphors from beach to bandshell, moved by animated pianos, purple patches of poetry, baskets of blossoms hanging by the frozen bricks of ancestors on traditional lands. We rise together in symphonic surges, free and open and constant, glowing from our hearts in jars, sustaining and proclaiming poems. Do you know this being? Yes, poetica. The other poem I wanted to share is a bit of a long poem, but it's fun. And so I thought it would be a fun one to share. It's called The Crossing of Candle Eyes and Her Journey to the Other Side of the Garden to Uncross Her Eyes.
Okay.
Yes. Tall as a nose, perky as a penny, Candle Eyes slept in the shade of a garden gnome and played on warm deck planks when Giant was away. One distraught Sunday in April, cross-eyed, Candle packed her petal purse to seek golden eggs by the tree known to catch flies with lemons. You see, Candle lost her brilliance among weeping rose bushes this winter. Only a golden egg could give an inch, make the shoes of joy fit, uncurling her gloomy vision to remember the blushes of seasons. Her friends needed magic too, missing today, quiet as pots that never boil, trapped for a week in the bucket the giant left beside an old Buddha bust when tending to the tulip bulbs. Candle knew the grindstone makes the best juice, so she set on her way alone, bravely looking in two directions at once, beginning a turbulent tango across the scrubby garden. Candle Eyes humbly cut the dried weeds on this rusty trip, leaving no lying fairies unturned. She played the moss and then hitched to a squirrel in search of golden eggs. When they neared the giant's cushioned castle, still locked since summer, Candle nimbly jumped from squirrel's tail, landing upside down beside the king. What bright luck! Candle Eyes kowtowed before the praying, bulging-eyed king, pleading with the mantis on the stool to show a straight trail shining to this lemon tree of wholesome golden delight renewal. King's stiff triangular lip pointed where angels feared to hang. He tapped for wisdom on a newly thawed rotten apple towering beside them. He declared the quality of the soil was strained, and then nodded toward a rocky road, by the pond to the lemon tree and its teacher, a turtle with wooden ears. "Don't give up the bite or the fire," the king warned, "or the mousetrap will carpe diem. Get it? Snap!" Candle Eyes tasted caution, assured her voyage must be next to divinity as she traveled deep, cold, muddy pond waters with shallow breaths and blurry footing. On the other side, by a shrub near the bird in the hand, Candle asked Turtle, resting on the mulch, about golden eggs. "Say as I do, not as I say. There are two sides to every river. The love of lightning is the window to the barrel beyond rotten peas and cues," murmured the turtle, its shell peeling like oranges with age. "Listening is believing. The pen wasn't built in one picture and 1,000 words." candle-eyes hungered to declare poetry too. Madly crisscrossing giant's labyrinth, eyes fiercely closed, crying out desperately against turtle's clouded intelligence, among split stones in a dizzy frenzy of questions and more questions until candle-eyes opened, a shining lemon tree, precise and sharp, detailed, crisp and clear. Suddenly, golden eggs popped up roots and down branches, glowing confident promise, vibrant vision, luscious, ripe, magical springtime harvest nourished by unpredictable climate. Candle-eyes twirled in newfound perception, realizing joy flames wilder than crossness. Fuzzy paths, grouchy kings, murky turtles, enchanted lemon trees matter very little when up against plucky questions. Candle-eyes vibrated. Happily ever burning brighter shines directly from our fiery quest.
Well, thanks, Jessica, for not only for coming in, but for reading from your work. And to connect with us, listeners, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all our broadcasts archived, so you can listen to them anywhere and anytime. We'd love to hear from you and welcome all your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, Sunday at 1 p.m., right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.